Two-part question. Do you believe, as the FOMC seems to believe, that, quote-unquote, this time it's different in the construction isn't necessary to a sustained economic recovery? And two, given the slack in the construction of new homes, which is at near unprecedented low levels, why is the Treasury Department selling off mortgage-backed securities?
Yeah, the second question, I don't really have, that's a Treasury policy matter, and I don't have any comment on that. Although, in terms of the first question, we have seen a recovery take place without the kind of usual support that we're seeing in construction. And we've seen a recovery in the sense that we've seen GDP growth turn positive. It's averaged nearly 3% over the course of the last seven quarters. And we've seen unemployment fall. With that said, and it's certainly important to say this, you know, this recovery would be faster and the outcomes would be better if construction was able to play a more of a role. It will not for quite some time to come. That would be my forecast. And so that's, you know, certainly related to the headwind that I'm describing. I see that more as something tied to the net worth positions of households, but I think it ends up coming to the same thing. It's part of the headwinds that are holding back the pace of recovery. Yeah.
Currency on U.S. domestic GDP and what the effect might be if it was properly valued pursuant to international exchange, and or if the U.S. instituted a tax on incoming Chinese goods that would reflect the true value of that currency?
Yeah, this is, I think, a very challenging question. I think that there's, I've seen a number of studies that try to get at what the right value of the currency is, and I think it's a challenging question to figure out what that right value is. At a very general level, you know, I think that we've moved over the world in the world to a much freer trade position over the last 50 or 60 years, and I think that's been very beneficial for the global economy as a whole. And you start taxing goods if the U.S. was to start to make those kinds of moves. You know, this is a cooperative equilibrium that we're in. And I think we've been one of the main leaders in pushing for free trade, and it doesn't send that, it's kind of signal I think we want to send by doing that.
This is a two-part question. First of all, the Federal Reserve works on core inflation, whereas the difference between core inflation and headline inflation is growing so rapidly these days, which is really hurting the average worker in the country. So I'd like your comments on that. But far more importantly, the sea that we're currently going through on the United States ship has got a lot of rocks ahead of us. And I see that sovereign debt, which would have been unthinkable as little as 10 years ago, is definitely on the horizon, especially as it appears to me that the Federal Reserve's intention is to deflate the value of the dollar, which has now reached its lowest level, I think, for heaven knows how many years. Could you comment on these responses from myself, please?
Yeah, so the first question, I tried to talk a little bit about this in my speech, that we cannot react effectively to month-to-month fluctuations in headline inflation, even though what we are trying to do is guide the economy over its 3 to 4 year period to a headline inflation rate of 2%. Most of the deviations you're describing between headline and core, although not all of them, are coming from what's going on in energy prices. And these are very much a concern to us. They're a concern not so much in terms of inflation, because for energy prices to affect the rate of inflation over the next 4 years to the same extent, they rose at around 25% or so last year. They would have to keep rising at 25% per year over the next 3-4 years. I don't believe that's going to happen. And the forecasts that I've seen are consistent with that. What is more problematic is that the high level of energy prices is a problem in terms of it's a drag on consumer demand, and that drag on consumer demand can be a drag on the recovery. And that is more what my concern is about the, so if prices go up and stay high, they're not going to influence the inflation rate, because the inflation rate is about the rate of increase of prices. So that if prices go up and stay high, they're not going to influence the inflation rate, but they can still be a drag then. When you have gas prices at the level that we have, and you guys are very aware of in California, that is a drag on consumer spending, and that's one of the rocks that you described, I think, facing the U.S. ship going forward. In terms of the sovereign debt issue, I think that I'm encouraged, I would say, by the seriousness of dialogue that's going on about this issue in Washington. You know, fundamentally, this is an issue that is, you know, Congress and the taxpayers have to resolve it. Debt has gone up a lot. The deficit has gone up a lot. And either taxes have to go up or spending has to fall to resolve that situation. The good news is that markets right now have a lot of faith in U.S. Treasuries. And people talk about, you know, you still read, if people are doing, there's a flight to quality, that quality still certainly is U.S. Treasury. So there is a belief in the marketplace, and it's a belief I share, that they will be an effort to correct this issue. And it's not something that has to be fixed overnight, but there has to be moves afoot to get after it. Now, in terms of our policies in the dollar, I mean, the dollar is buffeted around by a bunch of different things. We think, and I think this true too, that the best thing we can do for the dollar is follow policies that guide us to fulfill our mandates: price stability and maximum employment. And the choices we've made are trying to fulfill those mandates. I think that will get the U.S. to a sound and stable dollar position.
Raising the interest rate with keeping, I mean, my understanding is that we're doing more business because interest rates are low, and we can do our exports and they cost less. If we raise interest rates and stabilize things that way, then we sort of, I mean, and, you know, this all relates back to the debt ceiling. The other thing I was wondering is, my understanding was that we were buying, the Treasury was buying its own debt because other countries aren't buying it anymore. I don't know if that's true. I mean, that's my understanding. And the other question I have is, if we buy the debt now when interest rates are low, with your projection that interest rates would be up by, you know, 2% or whatever, does the government then make money if they sell them then? I mean, is that part of the strategy? Thanks.
Yeah, no, there's a lot in that question. I don't think I'll be able to satisfactorily address all of it. Let me talk about the part that maybe I can probably tackle the best, which is about sort of the trade-offs involved in raising interest rates. As I described, you know, what you would like to have is a car that you're driving along and you'd be able to just keep your foot fully on the accelerator till you exactly hit 60 or whatever the speed limit is and take it off. That's not the car we drive as monetary policymakers. So that means that even though unemployment is elevated, even though core inflation is below where we want it to be, we start to move now. And we have to start withdrawing stimulus now. Now, the good news, the appropriate policy news is that even though if we raised rates slightly at the end of the year, we would still have a very accommodative, very supportive monetary policy stance. But, you know, I think your question is a good one, and it's because it gets to the heart of the problem we face, which is we're not in the car where we can just take our foot off the accelerator when we hit the speed limit. We've got to start to prepare ahead of time. Maybe one more, huh? Let's see. Can't see it all, sorry.
he seemed to indicate that he felt that there had been an abdication of that responsibility on the part of the Fed for the past 20 years. Could you comment on that?
I mean, I think that, you know, I think anyone who's talked about the crisis with any level of seriousness has pointed to regulatory lapses by the Federal Reserve System and by, but other regulators as well, here and around the world. I mean, it's there's certainly, I think one of the, Andrew mentioned the awesome book by Reinhardt and Rogoff, This Time It's Different, and one of the things that book brings home to you is that regulators are people too. Regulatory environments are influenced by conditions. And so this attitude of this time it's different is something that flows into the system. So if people see housing prices going up, that there's going to be, and you can say, oh, the regulators should be tough at that point in time. But it's a tough thing to do because many people are saying, well, why should I not be allowed to get in a home? And other my friends have been able to get into a home. There'll be this time it's different mentality is all about, boy, housing prices are going to keep going up because they did it in the past, but this time it's different, and everyone buys into that mythology. So I think at this moment in time, there's a considerable more seriousness about the regulatory enterprise, and Chairman Bernanke gave an excellent speech yesterday about exactly how the Fed is trying to meet its obligations in this area. It's not the immediate future we have to worry about. It's that this time it's different mentality is something that's going to be taking, it's when it's when things are going really well that's when you have to start worrying. And it's very difficult from a human nature point of view for regulators, for buyers of homes, for politicians to be able to say to themselves, whoa, wait a minute, this is exactly when we have to curtail things. So I think the immediate future in terms of regulation, I think it's I think the Dodd-Frank Act is a good step forward. I think that the Federal Reserve is given a tremendous amount of responsibility under the Act, and I can assure you we take it extremely seriously, and we're working very hard to meet our obligations. All right. But it's not the immediate future, and as I think Andrew pointed out, it's not just the regulators. The regulators are a product of the total market and political environment, and somehow we have to be able to build in the brakes into the system. That's what will correct that this time it's different mentality. It's a challenging issue. Well, I thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate the questions.